for the stack.
Okay. Bill, I think Ken was next. Ken, go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I was on mute. I would ask the chair to insert some kind of time limit on the discussion of the CFO's report. We should have put time limits on the items of the agenda.
Yeah, wait for the time limit.
There are time limits at 60 minutes for this segment.
It's 60 minutes, and we have about maybe 10 minutes to go on this section of the agenda.
Stop.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. That's my only concern. Okay, thank you. That's my only concern.
Okay, I think I heard Mansoor wanted to be on the stack.
I wanted to ask Sam a question. He says that he wants to tell us something else. Like, he wants to ask us for something else, that we need to do something, and I want to know if Sam can elaborate on what is it that he wants us to do. Just 1 minute, and because we're short on time. What is it that you want us to do, Sam?
Apart from the discussions that we can have only in the closed session, I will, in the open session, I will like to ask or request this committee to come up with an assessment of the financial health of the organization. And then we need to develop some metrics which can be uniformly applied across different stations. Unfortunately, we don't have those. I tried to introduce an idea last year with the finance committee to have each station present its own finances and discuss in detail, but unfortunately that did not go well. So then I kind of learned a lesson that if we have a uniform platform, the uniform set of metrics that we can apply to each station, that would be very, very productive, and we can get some meaningful information. One thing that is really kind of troubling me that we don't have a very good analytical system at this time, where we go back to at least 4 quarters of the fund drives and see what is the real thing happening, which programs are making money, which programs are not, which time slots are being productive, which time slots are not, and what is the underlying theme, the reason why some shows are doing good or some stations are doing good, and how can we do some cross-sharing. How can we share this experience across stations so that we can do a better job at stations which are not doing well? So I have a number of suggestions, a number of ideas on those lines, apart from definitely the closed-door session that we can get into a little bit more nitty-gritty.
Okay, I think Bill was the last person on the stack.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Actually, I did send you the May invoice I forwarded to you from Empire State Building to maybe address some of the questions about the charges for the tower rental and associated fees, electricity, and things like that. I'll just say we're still trying to get things caught up. We have several years of kind of neglect, and I know Sam and the people in the national office are putting in very many really long hours catching up. And the priority has been obviously getting the audit going, and I agree with that priority. I think it's really the important thing, and they've done a great job getting that together along with help from the business managers, because there was a lot of information that was needed to be gathered up. But we do need to obviously get the profit and loss, the income statement, updated, and that involves getting a better mechanism for getting the information from the stations like that don't have the business managers, like a WBAI, to their business manager, in this case, the person at KPFK, Barry Brooks. He needs to get all those invoices and things like that from Berthold so that he can get the right numbers into the spreadsheet. But, that's being worked on. And I'm also hoping that we can get, after we get a little bit further along the audit, work towards some of the audit deficiencies. That's going to require changing some procedures and things like that, too. We can't do it all at one time. And with the very limited staff in the national office and at our stations, too, we can really just kind of do what we can, but we do want to make progress. and just in general, that just to kind of, you know, some of this was sounding a little scary, but, you know, I have a lot of confidence in Pacifica, and we have, again, been neglecting finances for several years. We've been running deficits, I think, as everybody knows. But I know we can do better, and there's so many people out there that care so much about Pacifica and do want to support it, and we just have to figure out how to, you know, make all the stations sustainable and get these debts paid off so that we can, you know, really move forward. And I think we will do that, but it's going to be a little hard in the next few months.
Okay, I wanted to speak at this point. I think we have to take Sam's comments with the attitude that what can we extract from that so that we can move forward. Nobody is saying anything about any station having nefarious purposes for not paying central services. Every station, I assume, wants to do the right thing and tries to pay central services. The problem is that when difficulties arise, it's only natural to think that you can delay paying central services in order to pay something else. And what Sam is saying is we need to train the stations to make sure that central services is a top priority. It's really that simple. So I don't think it's necessary to go into defensive mode and try to explain that there are no nefarious things going on, because nobody is saying anything like that. We all want to succeed, and we all want to see every one of our stations succeed. And I think we just have to approach it with a positive attitude of what can we take out of this in order to come up with a plan to make things better than they have been. Because clearly, the way things have been functioning prior to this has not been working too well. So we have to find some new way of managing things. That's all. Is there anybody else who wants to speak? Sam, would you like to say anything else before we finish this item?
No, thank you very much. Actually, Alex, you summarized it very well. Because unfortunately what is happening is that the short term or the narrow interests of the station are taking over the broader good of the network. So, it is like chopping your head and hoping that the body parts will survive. So it is hard for me to say whether this is being done consciously or unconsciously, but no matter what, the result is the same. So somehow we have to reverse this process. The other bright line, I would say, is that when this is factored as like rental payments, the station will have to come up with a plan how to meet the shortfall. Right now, the unfortunate thing is that I'm not seeing the plan that can cover this payment, and that is very disturbing to me.
Okay. Any further? We have about 2 or 3 minutes left on this item. Is there anything else anybody wishes to add before we move on? Okay. Then let's move on then to the next item on the agenda, and that's the motion that was presented by Ken Aaron. Ken, since it's your motion, you have the floor. Ken, we can't hear you.
I was on mute. Hi, I was on mute. The motion is completely motivated in the last segment of this meeting. I have a little bit of laryngitis. I would implore the personal privilege if the chair would read the motion. Okay, hello? Anybody there?
Yeah, we're here. Yep.
Okay.
I request a personal privilege. I request the chair or the secretary to read the motion because I have laryngitis.
I can read the motion.
I think I was completely motivated by the last section of this meeting.
Okay. I'll read the motion. Whereas the national office has been driven into a state of deterioration and dysfunction to a great degree by the significant absence of central service payments from several stations totaling a deficit of $800,000 over the past 2 years, and whereas the national office is currently having to address financial burdens and emergencies which have been hidden, ignored, and left unaddressed for many years and now threaten the very existence of the foundation. Therefore, be it resolved that all station managers are hereby given the mandate to manage their stations as necessary to successfully generate enough revenue to pay the following three expenses each month in full and on time. And these are the three items: the staff payroll, healthcare costs, and the allocated central service payment. It is understood that income and expenses are not fixed and fluctuate from month to month, and therefore a station should develop a reserve to use when income is lower to fulfill this obligation. It is also understood that by joint consent, the ED and the CFO may grant an exemption for that month to a station that cannot meet its payroll or health care expenses within the commitment that the station will make good on omitted payments in subsequent months. And as income may not be sufficient to keep up with all expenses, general managers and business managers must report all outstanding deficits, payments that are in arrears, and bills that cannot be paid due to lack of revenue. These reports must be accurate and complete without any omissions and must be updated every month. If a general manager of a station repeatedly fails to accomplish these obligations, they will be subjected to evaluation and disciplinary action, including filing of reprimands and possible suspension without pay and or termination. General managers that can meet these obligations without major neglect or other bills will likewise be properly and publicly acknowledged. The first month this policy begins enforcement will be July 2017. Ken, would you like to motivate this motion?
Hi, it's going to be a complete my last half hour of this. I have no further motivation. If there's a section in there for consequences, and I don't feel there's any point in making a motion unless it has a timeline, consequences, and financial costs, which are covered in the beginning. We're not getting central services, but there has to be consequences and there has to be a timeline. So start
mentioning that
the consequences are the buck stops with the GM.
Mansoor,
I'd like that. That's my motivation.
Okay.
Nick Arena for the stack.
I will not take this back. I heard Mansoor. I heard Nick Arena. Anybody else?
Chris Corey.
Economize the stack.
Okay. Chris Corey. Economize. That's enough for now. Okay. Mansoor, go ahead.
Mine would be 30 seconds. I'm in full support of this motion just because the recent past history of Pacifica is showing that some of the management have not done enough to fulfill their fiduciary duties and what it's been asked them to do. And I wholeheartedly agree with the consequences. So I'm in full support of this motion.
Okay, I believe the next person on the stack was Chris.
I'm a bit concerned that the timeline is so short that it will be difficult for the stations to get their ducks in a row. I'm generally in favor of the idea. I mean, I absolutely agree that the stations need to get their act together and balance their books. I'm just concerned with things like collective bargaining agreements and other blocks, impediments to putting the budgets in order. I don't have sufficient information to really evaluate that. That's just a general concern. As a manager of several businesses, that it's very difficult to meet a timeline that is only, 14 days away. I I know that I would have great difficulty doing that if I were in the position of many of these managers.
Okay.
Sam on the fact.
Okay, Sam, I think Nick was next.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to speak against the motion, and I think that the overall focus of it is, on a business sense, generally in line, but I want to speak against it for the following reasons. First of all, as Chris just alluded to, the expense structure that most stations have, including WPFW, are largely guided on the labor side by a collective bargaining agreement, which has been very difficult to negotiate and enter changes to, and is very deeply impacted by the Pacifica National Office itself and the finances of the Pacifica National Office. So we have an expense structure locally that we have had great difficulty in changing on the labor side, and we have an expense structure that was based on largely the continuation of receipts of CPB grant money, which we have not received for the last several fiscal years. The intention of ensuring that the central services payments are made in order to keep the P&O office operating is a good intention, but it neglects the realities on the field, which is that we have expenses that we can't easily change. Secondly, I would like to say that that just as important as continuing to make payroll and health payments, that the rent that is necessary for the office space and the rent that's necessary for the transmission of the signal are equally important, because they are the requirements of continuing to honor our licenses. And so those expenses are critical and shouldn't be, you know, to be left behind and put, I guess, behind the central services payments, not because central services payments aren't important, but we can't operate a station if we can't transmit it and have an office in which to do it in. I think that the intention is in line, but that the timing of this is premature. We simply are still in a hand-to-mouth situation with the three stations that have to make rental payments and have the deepest challenges of rebounding. And so I am speaking against the motion at this time.
Can't do the stack.
Okay. There was somebody else who was on the stack. I can't remember now.
Or Paul mentioned something?
I was on the stack too, Alex.
Sam, yeah.
And
ahead,
Bill.
Economist was
Sam,
on the stack too.
Sam, go ahead.
Yeah, so I would like to address Corey's concern about the timing. So I would like to say that this is not a new mandate. This has been on the books for almost ever, like say for so many years. When the budget is prepared for a station, this is already factored in, and it is supposed that the station will meet its obligations. They agree and confirm that this will be the kind of cash flow that they will be having. So it is not a surprise. It is not an unnecessary burden on the station. The underlying fact is that the business plan, the business model has to match these expectations. So unless until there's an enforcing mechanism, this will always fall on the wayside. To address Nick's concern, Nick Arena's concerns that the cost structure and those things that cannot be changed, these are the same arguments that I've heard last year when the auditors asked for the cash flow plan, and the same arguments were advanced. why the action was not taken, has not been taken since last year, almost 12 months into running. And again, we are hearing the same arguments. So this is not a personal issue with me. This is about whether we want to revive the Pacifica finances or not. This is the business model that we have chosen, where shared services will be performed by a central location, through a central location. So if this model is a failing, then we have to come up with a different model then in that case, because this cost element cannot be sacrificed. I'm done. Hello?
Yes. Next person on the stack. I think that was our poll.
Okay. First thing, let me just clarify something from the CFO. The motion refers to the deficit of central services as $800,000. Did the I thought I heard the CFO say before it was higher than that. So if it is, could you please tell us that, and maybe we might want to put that number in there instead. And then I'm going to say that this motion is interesting. It'd be nice if we can make this work, but you know, it's telling people who've gotten away with it for a very long time. Now we're really going to get strict now. And we'll see. There is a question I have of are there restrictions on how much money a general manager can spend on something without approval? I know there was supposed to be something like that from the PNB years ago, and I don't know if it's been rescinded by the PNB or not, but, you know, that thing didn't get adhered to too well either. So I think we can pass this, but we really have to realize that it's going to be not that this is going to be some rubber stamp and everything's going to cleave to it, everything's going to go this way. There's going to be a problem or two with managers not complying, and what happens then? And also there is the question of, okay, so you get them to do those three things, and then they're told, hello, you didn't pay your rent over here, and there is that. So it may look like this will solve a problem, and this may be a part of solving a problem, but I think there's significantly more that's going to have to come out of this to actually solve the problem, if it's solvable. Okay, that's it. I want to hear from the CFO about the 800 or larger deficit.
So let me respond that. The statement that I have sent shows about $631,000 outstanding, and there is $225,000 outstanding from one other station. So in all, there is an outstanding amount of $850,000. Let me quickly respond to the other point, that this resolution already has a mechanism that if the station cannot meet its payroll and its healthcare cost, then we can grant an exception. But the station has to request for that. It cannot assume or take for granted that the central services is the last thing that they are concerned about. That is the important distinction that we are trying to make.
I think it's Bill's turn.
Point of order.
What is your point of order?
Mr. Chair, I believe that I was on the stack a while ago and got skipped over.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let Nick go.
Okay, I apologize. Go ahead. I sorry about that.
I'd like to speak for and against this motion. One, I'm for it because we've all made certain agreements and promises. We all enjoy the ability to broadcast our stations using Pacifica assets. And those assets are the broadcasting licenses. We all enjoy and use those assets. We have an obligation to pay for the use of those assets. We also have made some covenants with each other, some agreements. We've all, well, for the most part, we've all produced budgets, and we've all approved those budgets, some exceptions. But inherent in those budgets is a promise to take those budgets seriously for the good of Pacifica. For a lot of reasons, some of which are understandable, many of which are understandable, we've had trouble living up to those promises. But the simple fact is, we've reached the point where Pacifica's ability to continue as a viable organization is in jeopardy, and we need to really get serious about meeting our obligations. So here's my concern with the motion. My concern with the motion is that it doesn't have any real teeth to it. There are, you know, all we're going to do, and somebody else said this, is kind of wag a finger at a general manager if they don't meet these obligations. So I really think we need to add some teeth to this motion, and I would suggest that the stations that are behind, which include my station, that if we can't produce some meaningful, tangible improvements by October 31st, that the financial affairs of said station be taken over by the national office, by the CFO, and everything that needs to get paid and what gets paid and in what order be handled by the CFO. That's my statement.
Okay. Well, maybe you're offering essentially an amendment to the motion. Can you please put that in writing? And while you're doing that, I would like Sam to comment on the feasibility of, or the possibility of, the national office actually being able to do such a thing, because I'm not sure it can. Sam, would you comment?
Well, I would like to make a comment on the broader aspects, the intent of what the gentleman just said. It is not my intention to take over the operations, but it is my intention and it is my sole hearted objective that the station should be able to survive on its own, and it should have a credible plan, because without those efforts being made, just limping along and also kind of sacrificing the interest of the bigger organization, the Pacifica network as a whole, that should not be acceptable to anybody. And this is what is happening by default. When these stations are running a deficit, including the central services, they are threatening the very legal, threatening the very existence of this organization. And that is the first thing that has to happen. So what may come out from this, that the stations, like, I mean, if a simple example, that if a station cannot pay rental expense, they get a notice of eviction. Nothing of that kind happens in this matter, because there's no penalty, there's no consequence. So what is going to happen, that the issues will bubble to the top, why the station is not performing and what action needs to be taken. And then we get to more deliberations and get to more kind of thought process, whether some other actions are required so that the station can become viable on its own. If it cannot, then what are the options? That is what ultimately it boils down to.
Okay. So we have a motion. We have an amendment to the motion. Does anybody want to speak in favor or object to this amendment to the motion?
Mr. Chair?
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
What is your point of order?
In fairness, I don't believe that I'm prepared to make a motion to amend the motion at this point, pending hearing what some other people have to say.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant your statement to be a motion to amend. Okay. In that case,
Chair, who just spoke there?
That was Nikki Konamaki.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nancy, I'll speak against.
Point of order, Mr. Chair?
What is your point of order?
I call for the orders of the day.
I'll
second that.
Yeah.
Who was that? Yeah. Who was that?
Mark Paul Martin. I'm calling for the orders of the day.
Okay.
I started at 41. It is now 3 minutes after the hour, so we're actually 2 minutes over, 20 minutes.
Yeah, the time for this item has expired. So the only thing we can do at this point is vote on the motion. I take it there are some objections to the motion, so let's just go to a vote. Vote yes if you support the motion, vote no if you oppose the motion. I hope nobody wants me to read that again. It's a pretty long motion, and you should have the
text. Mansoor votes yes.
We're not calling the roll yet, Mansoor. Please wait till
Sorry.
Please wait till the secretary calls the roll. Arpal, can you begin to call the roll?
Okay. Ken Aaron.
I'm going to say.
Ken Aaron. Welcome back. Sam Agarwal.
Yes.
Nick Arena.
No.
Chris Corey.
Abstain.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Nick Economidis.
Yes.
Sabrina Jacobs. R. Paul
yes.
Martin. Yes.
Oops. Yes.
Did
yes.
Sabrina Jacobs just answer?
Yes.
Oh, okay. R. Paul Martin. Yes. Mansoor Sabah.
Yes.
Nancy Sorden.
No.
Alex Steinberg.
I'll vote yes.
Going back, Ken Aaron. Okay, I don't hear anything from Ken Aaron. Ken, are you on mute or are you
Ken,
not?
Are you still on this call? Okay, he's not voting for whatever reason.
Okay, he's not there. 7-4, 2 against, 1 abstention.
Okay. So we have to move on, and now there's the two other items that were there are two proposed motions, and I forget who brought forward those motions again.
Mr. Chair, are these my motions?
Yeah, these are your motions. Would you like to read them?
Wait a minute.
Well, let's deal with the first one, because that's a separate.
Mr. Chair, aren't we part of information?
Yes.
Isn't timeline for 2017 budgets next?
Yeah, you're right. Sorry about that. I didn't have the agenda in front of me. I was just going by my memory.
Bad idea.
A bad idea, indeed. Okay, timeline for budgets. We have 15 minutes to discuss this. We don't have to spend 15 minutes discussing it if you think there are more important items on the agenda, but that's what we passed. So would anybody like to speak on the timeline for 2017 budgets?
Arpal?
Arpal, go ahead.
Yes. I'll just say I have posted to the committee's mailing list the a number of past timelines, so you can look at those and understand that, in generally, they're not adhered to too much. But I've posted, I think, 4 of them. So there you go. That's it.
Okay. Would anybody else like to say anything about the timeline for the 2017 budgets?
Yes, Sam on the stack.
Sam, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we are talking about 2018 budgets, not 2017, because that's almost over now.
You are correct. It's our fiscal year begins in 2017, but we really are talking about the 2018 budgets. Yes.
Yeah. So I have a comment on that.
No. Point of order, Nancy. Point of information.
What is your point of order?
I believe our Paul said these were historical budget timelines, so I don't see a timeline that he's put forth for 2018. These are all historical.
I think that's what he said, they were historical, yes.
Yeah. So we haven't put a timeline together for the 2018 budget yet.
That's what we're trying to discuss. That's correct.
Okay. Well, I mean, I thought Sam was saying that the 2017 one is the 2018 one, and I was just trying to get clarification on that.
No. We don't have one yet.
That's not what he said. Sorry. Okay.
Let me complete my statement that we need to discuss this in the closed session as an item because there are some developments and some constraining reasons that probably we may have to reconsider the timeline. It may be very difficult with the extra workload that we are facing. And some of the other compelling things that are happening around the network that I don't know how realistic it would be to comply with the deadline. But I cannot really talk or cannot get into details in the public session.
Okay.
We don't have any timeline.
And Bill is there.
Okay. Is there anybody else who wants to speak on this item?
Bill Crozier.
Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, the P&B did pass a budget timeline back about 5 or 6 years ago. I can send it to you if you want. It's been sent around a number of times, and it hasn't been rescinded as far as I know, so it's still in effect. The objective is to try to get all the budgets passed by the beginning of the next fiscal year. Let's remember what the budgets do. They basically authorize spending. They say that you can spend these amounts for these particular line items. Of course, the managers are supposed to ensure that you don't spend money you don't have, and so that they have to watch the revenue also. And if the revenue drops, then that's part of their responsibility is to make sure that they control spending. And sometimes that's where the problem comes. We keep the spending level up and maybe even go past what's in the budget, but we don't have the revenue. But there is that reason for having it, and the auditors in the past have sometimes been this because of not having the budgets approved on time. And this year, we don't have any of the budgets approved yet. Things fell apart last fall, and then with the audit and the delays in getting the Finance Committee and all the other committees established, you know, it hasn't happened. But I'm hoping we can sort of get back on schedule sometime soon. The budget timeline that was passed several years ago, the idea working backwards from September 30th when all of them should be approved, you have to allow some time for the P&B to approve them in September. It takes a month and a half or so for the National Finance Committee, us, to go through all the draft budgets, make sure they look okay, make sure there's no wacky revenue projections and all the expenses are allocated, and modify them as needed and approve them. And working back further, that kind of means that the individual LSB should approve them by the end of July. So that's what's really hard, because I'm not sure how we can do this. They should have been starting several months ago. The LSB should have been coming up with budget priorities. These are the things that we think should be changed or, you know, added to or deleted for the coming year, and working with station management to come up with draft budgets. And I'm not sure any of the LSBs are doing that. But anyway, if they don't, then this budget timeline authority that the P&B provided several years ago allows this committee to basically develop the budgets for the stations. I'd really rather have the input from the stations, but if the stations don't do what they're supposed to be doing, meaning the LSBs and the management of each station, then we can't just ignore it. And I don't want to get in a situation where we had for FY17 where the budgets got delayed and delayed and delayed so much that we still don't even have it approved yet. So I think we should try to get caught up as much as we can. It may not be possible to get back to the original timeline, but I think we need to try to move ahead. And we need to think about how we're going to pay off our debt and do things like fund the employee pension plans and stuff like that. And we can't keep kicking the can down the road. We have to somehow get real and make sure we live within our revenues.
Okay. Any further comments on timeline for budgets for 2017?
I have a question.
I'll get on the stack.
Okay,
Chris,
who was that?
Chris Corey, sorry.
Nancy?
Okay. I believe I heard Nancy and then Chris. Nancy, go ahead.
I was wondering who prepared these timelines, you know, made updated the dates for each year. Could we like get something like that for the 2018 budget so that we can then amend it as needed?
Did I answer that?
Who was that?
R. Paul.
R. Paul. Why don't you? I'll put you on a stack, and you can speak after the next speaker.
Okay.
I think Chris was next.
Yeah, I was just wondering, based on the vote that was that we just made, wouldn't the budgets be subjected to those constraints?
Well, they would have to consider the priorities that we just voted on. Yes,
that's what I was. That's what I was asking. Just making a point.
But that's not really, I mean, that's not really a discussion of the timeline, should I say?
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. But, I mean, if yeah, okay. Go ahead.
All right. R. Paul.
Yes. Regarding the timelines, if you look at them, they're pretty close to all being very similar to each other. And what happened is, the CFO would suggest it, or the chair of the National Finance Committee would suggest it, and basically what would happen is we would bring it up and change the year dates on them, and that would be pretty much it. I do know that at one point the NFC did vote to change some part of it for that particular year, but yeah. If you look at them, they're pretty much the same. They came out of previous CFOs and previous National Finance Committees.
Okay, thank you. I think maybe we could continue this discussion on timeline at another occasion, particularly since Sam...
Could we get an Nancy question, a request for action? Could someone take responsibility for preparing the 2018 timeline?
If you let me finish
I'm
what
sorry.
I was saying.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Sam has informed us that we may have to have a different idea about the timeline after we listen to what he has to say during the closed session. Maybe we want to defer the rest of this discussion for now. That's all I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Is there anybody else who wants to speak? I think we're almost out of time on this item, but we probably have a couple of minutes. Okay, then let's go on to Nick's motions. Nick, I thought you had two motions ready. I only see one that you sent us.
I do have two.
I didn't hear that.
Didn't we put this after schedule next meeting?
Yes, we did. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Yeah, let me ask Sam. Sam, when do you think a good time would be for the next meeting?
I don't mind in a couple of weeks, but definitely we should plan on a closed session. Because there are many matters that cannot be discussed in an open meeting. So it may be good that we can send the meeting notice out right away, because there definitely will be many, many things to discuss in the closed session.
So 2 weeks from today, closed session.
Point of order?
What is your point of order?
We've already, at the last meeting, we passed a motion to schedule the meetings the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month. So we already have a meeting set throughout the rest of the year. So the next meeting has already been set for the 27th of the 27th of June.
Sam, is that is in 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't have to, but Sam is just asking that we schedule a closed session for that day. So we can do that.
Schedule a what?
Closed session.
We can vote on that, sure. Let's do that.
Yeah. Are there any objections to scheduling a closed session for June 27th?
What time? The entire meeting or part of it?
Well, generally we have the open session first, and then we have the closed session. We don't have to do it that way, but that's been the practice generally. So I would assume we have the open meeting till 10:30 Eastern time, and from 10:30 to midnight, if we have to, we have the closed session.
Nick Arena for the stack.
Nick, go ahead.
I would request that we have the closed session sit within the 10:30 time frame. 10:30 on the East Coast is getting late, and I would ask that we have the closed session within the 8:30 to 10:30 time frame.
Okay, we can certainly consider that. It's just we may not have all the time we would like. Sam, what's about that?
Yeah, I would suggest actually that we can have a closed session first, because it's an obligation on our part, like on my part and Bill Crozier, to update the National Finance Committee. So these are important developments, and we don't want that we keep you in the dark. So however you would like, we can have the closed session first and then the open session, depending upon if there's any item to be presented, or we can just close with a closed session.
All right. Let's do it that way then, if there's no objections. Let's have the closed session first, and we'll schedule an open session following the closed session, but how much time we'll have on the open session remains to be seen, and we'll try to adjourn by 10:30 like we usually do. How's that?
Okay. So,
sounds good.
So the motion is made by you, and it is to have an executive session at the start of the next meeting.
Followed by open session after the executive session concludes, and the National Finance Committee will adjourn at 10:30 Eastern Time.
Okay, so executive session at the start of the next meeting, followed by an open session.
As time allows.
If time allows, yes.
All right, nobody will know when to tune in to come listen to that, to the throngs who listen to these meetings, but have an executive session at the start of the next meeting, followed by an open session as time allows, which means we could have no open session at all.
That's possible.
Possible, but we can notice that we intend to have an open session sometime between 8:30 and 10:30 p.m. That's the best we can do at this point.
I don't know how to phrase that for the for the notice. Two, we have to say why we are having an executive session for the notice. To have an executive session for the reason, for okay. whatever reason, to consider why.
Sam, could you give us a reason for the executive session?
Yeah, these are fast developing events, and there would be definitely be an update that we, whether it may be positive or negative, but the update will be very important, like we will be doing the update to the PND. So my purpose is that I should update the PNB and the National Finance Committee on the financial matters.
It needs to say something. The notice needs to say something like to consider legal matters or personnel matters or real estate matters or something along
legal.
Those lines.
How about legal and financial matters of a confidential nature? How's that?
Legal and financial, you said?
Yes.
Okay. So it agreed to have an executive session at the start of the next meeting to consider legal and financial matters of a confidential nature, followed by an open session as time allows.
Okay. I think that's it. Is everybody okay with that? Can we go on to the next item?
What's the date? Is it 2 weeks or 1 week or what?
There's something.
In 2 weeks, June 27th, I believe.
27th.
Okay, if you can wait till then, that's fine with me. I don't mind waiting meeting next week if you'd rather get an update sooner.
Well, that was Sam's proposal. 2 weeks.
Yeah, I can see information by email, too, if we need to.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go on to the next item, we are pretty close to running out of time, so let's make this quick. Nick, you have the floor. You have a motion you wanted to bring forward.
Yeah, I'd like to propose a motion related to the March fund drive. In essence, all the stations participated in the one-day special fund drive in March. There's a limited amount of fundraising that we can do through our online fundraising efforts. And I think the station should get some sort of credit toward their essential services for the money raised that went to Pacifica. So I've prepared a motion that I've sent around. I'll read it if it pleases the chair.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Whereas each station in the Pacifica network has a finite amount of money that it can reasonably expect to raise from listeners during on-air fund drives conducted throughout the year, and whereas all five stations in the Pacifica network participated in a special one-day fund drive to support the Pacifica National Office on March 2nd, 2017, therefore be it resolved that the National Finance Committee recommends to the Pacifica National Board that the central service assessments due from each station be credited with an amount to be determined by the CFO representative of the results produced by each station as a part of the March 2nd, 2017 fund drive, and that the aggregate total of such amounts individually credited to each of the five stations be equal to the total net amount raised and collected from the one-day fund drive.
Okay, is there any discussion, any objection to this motion?
Sam on the sack.
Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I appreciate the intention and the goodwill behind this motion, but unfortunately it is creating problems of its own kind. So let me summarize. One problem that happens is there are few stations which are current, like KPFA is current in its dues. So obviously it will not get credit for any past central services due. It will be very unfair to give a credit to other stations which are behind. It is like rewarding a bad behavior. The second thing is that if this additional fund was raised because of a certain reason, because the money was tight and the money had to be spent on the audit fee. Now, when the central services are over or outstanding, the bills don't go away. The bills keep mounting. In fact, it is increasingly becoming difficult because the cost of doing business is increasing every day in terms of the legal cost, the interest, the penalties, everything. So the amount of shortfall that we are having in the central services cannot be compensated by giving credit to this extra effort. I mean, I do appreciate the efforts and I do appreciate that, this money was provided to the national office, but this is over and above the needs that we already have. I can repeat my earlier statement that if 40% of the budget is cut, how do you manage the business? So by giving credit, actually, we are kind of borrowing from the future. We cannot meet our cash flow. That is critical. We will keep on asking the stations to keep on doing the fundraise for us because we are always running short of money.
Okay. Any further discussion on this motion?
Nancy, to the back.
Okay. Nancy, go ahead.
I have a question about what the money for the fundraiser was raised for. I know the first one was supposed to be raised for for the audit, and I believe that Sam said that the central services covers things like the audit, and so that at least should have been credited to central services, even back central services, because it's money that's normally coming from central services to cover those things. So I'm wondering, what is this fund drive covering? And also I would like to amend Nick's motion to add getting credit for the first fund drive.
Well, point of information, I didn't hear the amendment.
I would like it to include getting credit for the first fund drive that was raising money to go towards the audit, and Sam had told us earlier tonight that our central services covers things like the audit. And so I think we should be credited for at least back or whatever current central services for that first fund drive as well. Put that into.
But I believe we're talking about the first fund drive.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the second one, the one that we just had, the one-day one. So you were talking about the one that where we raised $200,000. Is that right, Nick?
That's correct, which I believe was
okay.
On March 2nd.
Okay, then I guess I would like to amend it to get credit for this current fund drive where we all paid a day's worth of our own fund drive towards what? I can't remember what it was going towards, but if it's something that's normally covered by central services, then I think you're right. The stations should get credit for it for that one as well. The stations should get credit for that one as well.
Sam,
Mr. Chair, I need
Sam.
Wording for the amendment.
Okay,
are you asking me, Alex, to comment?
Yes, I would like to do that comment.
Yeah, so again, I think we are going...
My question answered about what the second fund drive was for.
Bill, you want me to answer?
Bill, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, it's to pay. We have just a lot of debt, a lot of different things. The audit's one of the things that, you know, we needed money for. That's correct. That's what the March 2nd fundraiser is for. If we need additional money for the second audit, we may use it from that. But we just, you know, it's it comes from not having social services, you're right, and not having health care payments always paid, and not having the pension plans funded. And frankly, every month or more often, you know, the national office has to juggle the priorities to figure out which things can be put off longer. So it's not necessarily for one specific thing, just to give them a little more cushion because they're so far behind on all essential services. But the problem, and I agree with the attention, I think this sounds good. The trouble is that I don't want to punish stations that are current on their essential services like KPFA. And this motion would have the effect of doing that because they wouldn't get credit for it because they're already current. So I'm thinking maybe we should just postpone this indefinitely until we figure out, until we can get caught up and to a point where we can do something more. I mean, this isn't going to help anything with cash flow, this amendment, so I'm not sure how it really helps.
If I can make a quick comment, Alex, can I have the floor?
Yes, go ahead, yeah.
Okay, and I would like to get back on the stack also to...
Excuse me, Sam has the floor.
So I think it's the same issue that we are seeing, like when we rescinded the SCA motion in the last meeting, the question was the same. There's a finite budget for the national office and there are finite expenses. Those expenses are increasing every day when we get behind and when we cannot pay the bills. Now, so when we try to kind of hit from the back door or from the front door, it does not make any difference. I mean, because there are certain bills that have to be paid no matter what. So by giving credit, what is happening is that, say, we are shortchanging the national office. That is the ultimate effect for this. And that is the reason why it does not really advance any cause. It only is a little bit of a satisfaction to the station to be a little bit less in default, not more in default. That is the only distinction that it will create. It's more of an accounting gimmick that that may materialize without really paying the bills, basically what is outstanding at this time. So I will agree with Bill that this motion should be tabled till we have a thorough discussion about what the exact dollar amounts are there that need to be paid to the national office. And we should not get into any unfair treatment of one station against another.
Mr. Chair, is there a motion to postpone something before somebody calls a certain order of the day?
I believe there was a motion to postpone indefinitely from Bill Crozier. I want to clarify that from him. A motion to postpone is not debatable. We go immediately to a vote on it. All those in favor of postponing indefinitely this motion,
raise your hand.
Say yes.
Point of information. Was this...
Our call, can you call the roll, please?
Yeah, okay, so the motion...
Can I make a point of information so I know what I'm voting on?
You're voting on a motion to postpone indefinitely the motion presented by Nick.
Okay, Ken Aaron. Come back. Sam Agarwal.
Yes.
Nick Arena.
Yes.
Chris Corey.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Nick Economidis.
No.
Sabrina Jacobs.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Mansoor Sabah. Back. Nancy Sorden.
No.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Going back. Ken Aaron. Mansoor Sabah. Okay, no answers from those two. 7-4, two against, zero abstentions.
A point of personal privilege. And
What is your point of personal privilege, Ken?
My phone was disconnected. I wanted to vote. I did try to vote yes on the previous motion, just to correct the vote count.
Okay. Thank you, but we already called the roll, so too late to change it. We have. Did you have another motion you wish to present at this point?
Point of order.
What is
Mr. Chair, I ask that my motion be placed on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay. What is your point of order, R. Paul?
I call for the orders of the day.
Would somebody care to entertain a motion to extend for 2 minutes while we consider whether we wish to go into executive session or not?
No? Yeah, I'll make the motion. Extend for 2 minutes so we can do that.
Okay. I don't think we have much time to debate this, and I think it's...
Not debate,
whether you want to vote to go into executive session or not.
Motion on the floor is to extend for 2 minutes.
To extend for 2 minutes. In order to discuss whether we want to go into executive session. R. Paul, can you call the roll?
Let me get that
written down. Well, let me put it this way. Are there any objections to extending 2 minutes? Okay, since there are no objections, we have 2 minutes to discuss whether we want to go into executive session. Does anybody want to comment on that? If not, we can go immediately to a vote. Okay, seeing nobody wants to comment, let's decide whether we want to go into executive session immediately following the adjournment of this meeting. All those in favor...
Point of order, I'm sorry. There's a point of order before you take the vote. This is Ken. If we go to executive session, we need a new code. Or we use the last code we used for executive session.
You don't need a new anything. We will just not be screaming once we go into executive session.
I got it. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, thank you for the correction.
Okay, so R. Paul, can you call the roll on whether we want to go into executive session or not?
Why not see if anybody objects?
Does anybody object?
Wait a minute. Okay, so there's a motion to go into. Okay, point of order. So there's a motion by you to go into executive session now.
Now, exactly. If there are no objections, I will ask. I will ask the person that's screaming to end the screen. We can take a 1 minute break and then.
Point of information.
What is your point of information?
Am I correct that inherent in this motion is a motion to extend the meeting? And if so, are we going to set a timeline on how long we're going to extend the meeting?
We are finished with the open session. This is the closed session is actually a separate meeting. We can decide once we convene in closed session, we can decide how long we can decide on what the agenda is and how long we can spend in it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. All right. So if there are no objections, we will now go into closed session. As soon as we get confirmation that we are off the stream, we can start.